Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us today. Later on, we'll be accepting phone calls. If you want to jot that phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you can give us a call. We'll put you on the air live and let you hear a question or comment to our guest today. I believe this is the first time we've ever had this topic on the Tuesday Talk Show today, because we're talking about horse racing, and of course we're in the middle, or certainly the summer meet is going on right now at Grants Pass Downs, and pretty successful. Let's start with Tag Weatherspoon, well-known name. You've been the voice and the promoter around Grants Pass for a long, long time. What is going on, Tag? And this is a pretty prestigious situation that Grants Pass Downs finds itself in, is it not?
It really is, and Chuck, always good to see you, and thanks for having us on the show. You're the real voice when it comes to local sports here in Grants Pass and Josephine County, so it's nice to be able to share a microphone with you. But something very exciting is going on as we speak. We're at the midway point of our summer race meet, and we're off and running, and we're off to a good start. Had some challenges last weekend as far as dealing with Mother Nature on Saturday, but we've got such a good team. We were able to work through the weekend and had a very successful Ladies Hat Day event on Sunday, and then on Father's Day, there were over 4,500 people at the races. So we're off to a good start. We're at the midway point. We've got 4 days of racing left in our summer race meet. And meanwhile, while that is going on,
now, going on behind the scenes right now, this is something that the people coming through the front gate might not be aware of. Is that right?
Yes, you're exactly right. And Executive Director Connie Nguyen can tell us a little bit more about the backstory when it comes to this Stewart School. But for the first time ever, basically Grants Pass Downs is hosting a Stewart School where there are people all around the world that are here, you know, people from Europe, people from Canada, people from all around the United States, even somebody from Jamaica. They are here to try to get accredited as far as becoming stewards so they can be, and a steward is basically an official. It's just like an umpire or a referee or an official. So
these are the people in the black and white shirts.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't wear stripes. You know, they're upstairs in the booth and they kind of oversee everything that's going on. As far as the actual racing is concerned, we have three stewards. You know, there's a head steward, which is Mike Twiggs, who's been around the sport for a long time, and then Terry Crystal, who's done a little bit of everything. He's the deputy steward. And then we have an association steward, who's Troy Stillwell. And those three stewards kind of oversee what happens on race day. And right now, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 people that are here going through the steward school to hopefully become stewards. And they're here in Grants Pass for about a week. And just based on what I've heard so far, everybody's off to a great start. And in fact, a couple of people that wear a lot of hats and wear them very well are also students in the school, and they're joining us today in studio.
All right, Connie, why don't you bring us up to date on how this all happened and really what it means to Grants Pass Downs.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you for inviting us out here today. Like Tag said, we are very honored to have this program here. Just to give a little more context, the Stewart program has been around since 1989. It's run by a consortium of different organizations that are involved in horse racing, and they only have one school a year, and it's usually in either Arizona or Kentucky, where the big schools, accrediting schools, are for horse racing. I approached them a few months ago, well, several months ago, almost a year ago, and asked if they would consider coming to Grants Pass, Oregon. And we talked a bit, and they decided to take us up on it, which is a huge honor to have the school here in this location.
This is a real feather in Grants Pass Downs' cap.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the state of Oregon, too. Go ahead.
Not just the state of Oregon in Grants Pass for what it means to be recognized, but also it's an economic influx of people and money into the community. Again, as he mentioned, we have people as far away as Japan attending this course. So we're really excited. There's over 1,000 years of experience in this class, a lot of people. But even with that, a lot of them won't pass. It's considered a very rigorous course.
And once again, this is done only once a year. And these first stewards that work throughout the world – making sure that horse racing is done correctly, one, taking care of the horses, and that everything is done above board. Is that a fair assessment?
That's correct.
All right. All that being considered, what were some of the factors that brought them here to Grants Pass?
It's a lovely community.
We agree with that.
And I shared with them some of the wonderful aspects of Grants Pass, the weather this type of year. Like you say, it's the climate, and that helps sell because somebody has to come out here and teach it. Grants Pass, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to one of my jockeys who's also from Jamaica and was telling him about how many people were coming, and he said, well, sometimes you don't give yourself enough credit. Grants Pass is actually a big deal, and people are watching us, and we're growing. And Rope was aware of that, so it made a lot of sense for them to come out here.
Right. Now, this is the only, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the only horse racing meet in the state. Is that right?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Grants Pass has two race meets.
Mm-hmm.
They have a spring race meet, which we consider a county fair meet. Mm-hmm. It's called SORA. And then the fall is our commercial race meet. That's the only commercial race meet in the state. However, with that, there are three other race meets that we have. One is in Union. Mm-hmm. That's Eastern Oregon Livestock Show. One is in Primeville, and that is a Crooked River Roundup. And the third is in Tillamook.
All right. Well, we're all learning something here today. All right. That's great. Now, we brought all these people in here, and I've taken a look at the agenda that these people have to go through, and it's on a daily basis throughout the fairgrounds here. Not only attending the races, but going to school at the same time. Will they have an opportunity to get out and enjoy some of the things that we are so proud of here? We've got a nice little river that runs through it, and there are rides on that. And is there anything that has been planned in order to welcome these people and kind of show off Southern Oregon?
We actually were just talking about the fact that we're going to get them all together one evening. If you have a place you recommend, let me know. They're pretty busy during the day, though. It'd be really great if they could do more. Several of them have made arrangements to either come in early or stay late to have the opportunity to explore the area more.
All right. Well, certainly there are lots of places to go and some fine eateries throughout the area. In the meantime, though, let's really focus on what is going on here with the meet. Now, you're going to school yourself to become an accredited official. Why?
So the reason I'm going is because as the executive director, being in charge of the entire operation on the regulatory side, it's really important for me to understand all the different jobs. Executive directors are not required to be a steward. However, it's a really wise move.
All right. So you understand everything that's going on from top to bottom. So what's going on from top to bottom? Are there different areas that stewards specialize in? Is it care of the horses, making sure everything is done right? Execution of the race itself? Handling the wagering? Is that all part of it? Tell me about what you're really specializing in.
All right. So as a steward, you must know everything that occurs. I kind of think of them as the governor of the racetrack. They are the boss of even me. When we're on the grounds at the racetrack, they are in charge of everything that happens. However, their main purpose is to be good stewards and make sure that the races run, they run fairly and safely. Those are the underlying areas. So a steward will get up in the morning, they'll review films from the day before. They'll make sure that the races, you can watch the films while they're occurring. You can watch them right after they happen, but you have to watch them frame by frame to really make sure that there were no infractions that happened during the races. They'll adjudicate anything that came up as a problem. They'll interview people. They deal with any type of infraction that happens on the track, from someone getting in a fist fight in the back end. Not that that's happened any time recently, but if it did, they would, to someone riding their horse dangerously. The really big deal is before the race starts, they're going to go in and talk with the jockeys, give them a little speech, make sure that they're really focusing on safety. They're going to watch the horses that come in to the paddock and make sure that they have the proper equipment on. They're going to go up to the steward stands. They'll have a number of televisions up there. We have a timer up there. We have an expert that's watching the stop footage. And there's always three stewards. There's three, so they can come. If there's a conflict, one person will go one way or the other to make a decision on an inquiry or objection to a race, which happens more often than you might think. From the perspective of a jockey, they may feel like they were cheated or they won or something else, but then when they watch the videos and talk to the stewards, they usually find out, you're right, I see your point. They start the race. They actually hit the button to start the race, and they stop the race. And that's really important because wagers can't be placed once the horses are out of the gate. They determine the order of – they watch the race for any infractions, as we talked about. Then they determine the order of finish. And then there's a whole legal end on the other side if there's any infractions, from writing up the cases to notification, giving the opportunity for due process, and so on and so forth, up to fining or potentially losing a license if there's any problems.
So there are three stewards for every race meet?
That's correct.
Okay. So I'm assuming the stewards, is that a paid position?
Absolutely. It's one of our better paid positions with the commission.
All right. Well, it certainly makes sense because with responsibility, evidently, that they're facing. What is their toughest job?
Everything's a tough job. You know,
is it adjudicating claims?
You know, I asked the association steward if he had ever thought about being the presiding steward, who is the senior steward. And he said, I wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole because they're the ones that have to handle all the really big problems and make the final call on them. So it's really somebody who's very good at working with people and handling difficult circumstances. And sometimes these are life and death calls.
All right. Stag, you wanted to weigh in on that.
Yeah, you know, I think on the track, you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes when people get in trouble or they have to review films and so on and so forth. But I think on the track and in talking with the stewards on a regular basis, we had a race on opening day where there was the disqualification. The winner was taken down for interference. And then we also had a situation in the last race on Sunday, on Ladies' Hat Day, where two horses came over and a horse ended up in a very tough situation. And, in fact, the rider went down, Jaime Lopez, and he was treated and released at the hospital, and he's fine, and he's planning on riding again this weekend. So I really think that in response to the question you asked, Connie, is that, you know, making those tough decisions, it's just like, you know, a basketball official making a tough call, okay, whether it's a block or a charge.
Yep.
Or an umpire, whether you're safe or you're out, or whether it's pass interference or not in football. I think those game time decisions, those race day decisions, are probably maybe one of the harder aspects of their job. But I think the one thing that I think is great for our fans and great for the betting public is that all three of our stewards are former riders. So they've been out there on the racetrack. They have experience as far as being former jockeys and very successful jockeys. So they can put themselves in the shoes of the rider who has to make those split-second decisions. Or maybe a young horse gets away from a little bit and then maybe causes a horse to pull up because there's so much going on. It's like the other day, we had a couple of trials for the Attaquan Derby Challenge, and that race is going to be run on July 5th, and the purse for that race is going to be over $52,000. So we're talking about a lot of money being at stake, and there was a lot of bumping, there was a lot going on, and sometimes it kind of becomes a chain reaction with the actual running of the race and then kind of determining, okay, who triggered it, who caused it. So I really think those decisions that they make, like Connie said, when they're reviewing a race, or when there's a jockey's objection, whether it's an inquiry. You have to understand the difference between an inquiry and an objection. An inquiry is something that's posted by the stewards. So the stewards saw something during the live running of the race that kind of triggered them to take a closer look at the race as far as a steward's inquiry. And then when you talk about an objection deals with either the trainer or the jockey where they're actually filing an objection because something happened during the running of the race that they weren't comfortable with. So these three gentlemen that are up there, you know, and like Connie said, that's why you have three, because oftentimes, sometimes they're all in agreement that, okay, hey, you know, nothing really happened, incidental contact, whatever the case may be, you know, the horse caused its own problem as far as an explanation of what actually happened. But I really do think that on race day, that when the races are being run, and there will be some days where everything just goes smoothly, where there's really not any inquiries or objections, or there's other days where there'll be two, three, maybe four during the course of the day. But I think that's probably their biggest challenge. But the fact that these guys have so much experience being out there and being former riders, I really think works to their advantage.
And if I can add into that, Tag, that's an excellent point. Now, myself and Commissioner Fowler are both going through the program, but just because you go through the program doesn't mean you can go out there and be a steward the next day. We don't have near the background to be able to walk into that. And the very best ones have been former riders because it's easier to understand what's actually going on the track if you've actually been in that position before.
All right. Are most of the stewards nationally former riders, and have they all gone through this particular school? This is the only one, correct?
The Racing Official Accreditation Program has the only school that you can go in through North America. That is correct. And, yes, since 1989, all stewards that are accredited have become accredited through this program.
And, of course, it's been pointed out that not everybody passes. Is it rare for everybody to pass, or is it just never happens? It's that tough.
I don't know the statistics. I just know that people always fail. There's never going to be – I'm not expecting 100% pass race at this one. I'm hoping for it. But I have a few people that are on my staff that are going through the first time, and they're already pretty nervous after just one day.
Okay. People graduating from this accreditation school here to become a steward, can they go to any track in the United States and perform that duty?
They can't. Once they have a...
I mean, we're talking the big ones, too, the Belmonts and the Preaknesses. And
you're not going to walk out of steward school and do the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
No matter how long you have been a jockey beforehand or anything else. They have three levels of stewards. They have a steward 1, 2, and 3. A 1 has just walked out of school. They're the newborns. A 2 has actually done the job under supervision of more experienced stewards, and a 3 has at least 5 years of solid experience. So if the big tracks, they're not going to bring in a 1 or a 2.
No, they would obviously go for a 3rd or a chief steward all the way down.
Right, and even at our track, we have one person who is still a 2. He's the association steward. The other two have many, many years of experience. I think one of them has been a steward for 30 years.
Oh, okay, all right. You mentioned that when the race is being run and going up to the race, are they all in the same spot? Are they all watching in the same spot? Are they all in front of video camera or video monitors?
So the typical location for them is directly above the finish line. And in a high position. In Grants Pass, it's at the top of the
grandstand.
Up in the press box. Yeah. You probably broadcast a few games from up there back in the day.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yes. Yeah. But they're up in the press box.
Yeah. It's a small area, but it's sufficient. And you'll have all three of them there, as well as, again, the timer, our announcer, a couple other people will be up there, yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're learning about horse racing here at Grants Pass Downs here, who are right now hosting the prestigious Steward Accreditation School, only one this year in the state in the nation. We'll be right back after this.
Farmers Buildings.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to our guest once again today, representatives of the Stewart Accreditation School program going on right here in Grants Pass. It is a feather in Grants Pass's Downs cap to being host to this particular show or school that is the only one in the state, or anyone in the state, anyone nationwide here. This is the only one this year, and it's an international situation. And we're hearing, we've heard from certainly Connie Wynn and Tag, a familiar voice around here. Tag, thank you very much. Lindsay, step into here and give us some of your perspective. Has everybody said anything right so far?
Yes. Yes, everybody's said everything right. I am a commissioner with the Oregon Racing Commission, and I'm also taking this class through the Racing Official Accreditation Program. It is a great class. We're all learning a lot. There's a lot of participation from everyone else in the class. And as Director Wynn said, there are a lot of people with a whole lot of experience.
What's it take to be a commissioner?
Being recruited out of nowhere where you never even saw it coming.
You drew the short straw.
I think it takes more than that. Yeah. It takes some knowledge about equines, knowledge. I'm an attorney by day, and so my knowledge of the legal framework and the administrative process certainly helped me be a good candidate for this role. And the interest, and I have a lifelong love of horse racing. And personally, I am very focused on keeping horse racing fair and safe.
All right.
And that is the key role of a steward, the integrity of the sport, so that bettors know they're going to be betting on a fair game, and the safety of the sport.
All right. And as a commissioner, what are your duties?
We meet monthly. We discuss changes to any regulations affecting horse racing. We've done a lot of this work this year talking about medication and safety issues. We are very focused on making sure this industry and this sport is as safe as it possibly can be. We also hear contested cases. So if a steward has written somebody up or accused somebody of breaking a rule, and that person contests the hearing that was done through the steward process, the commission hears those cases as well.
All right. So a commission would actually oversee a steward's decision if it was called for. Is that right? How many would be sitting on that
sort
commission?
Sort of, yes.
How many would be sitting on that commission?
There are five on our commission.
Yeah, all right. Well,
and then with our executive director as well.
Time is just flying by here, Lindsay. And I know you've been in the school already. What, you've got one day under your belt so far? What do you think so far?
I think it's a great experience. I'm really excited that it's being hosted by Grants Pass Downs. I'm learning a lot. It's very interesting, and the presenters are doing a good job of keeping everyone engaged. I'm really grateful for the experience. As soon as I knew we were hosting the school here, I wanted to come, not because it's going to help me in my day job at all. I do think it'll help me be a better commissioner, but also it's just a really interesting education.
All right. Most interesting spot so far. Tease me.
Learning that quarter horses can run 55 miles an hour. I had no idea.
You know, when you hear those bells go off and suddenly there are horses streaming by in front of you and suddenly the pulse just quickens. All right. Is that a fair assessment of what goes on in the stands?
Absolutely. The energy's electric. There's so much power in all those horses coming out of the starting gate. It is just something that you can feel through your body. Right. I think that's why people like to come watch horse racing.
All right. Lindsay, thank you very much for coming. And certainly you, Connie, when I know you ladies have to get out of here quickly, and if you have to go right now, let me know, because it's right out at 10 o'clock and I don't want you to get in trouble with the principal. No demerits today here. So if you have to leave, by all means, good luck and keep us informed. You can always email us. It's chuck at kjo.com or news at kjo.com, and we'll get the story out for you if you need to. Once again, that's Connie Nguyen and Lindsay's last name?
Fowler.
Lindsay Fowler. Thank you very much. To all of you, stay tuned. We've got more coming up about horse racing here in Grants Pass right after this important message.
What's better than cooking?
Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, by all means, this is the time to call. The number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. We have actually changed guest a little bit. Tag Weatherspoon remains here with us. The ladies had to go back to attend class, so we didn't want them to get any demerits. But anyway, we are also joined by the Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association President and Director of Racing, Rod Lowe. And Rod, once again, welcome to the microphones of KAJO. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I understand you've been at this for a while now.
I have, yes. I came into Southern Oregon Horse Racing in 1988.
All right. All that being said, you're also a horse owner, a horse trainer. Is that fair?
Horse owner, horse breeder.
Breeder.
Not really. I can't call myself a trainer, even though I've had horses in training for a long time. I haven't personally trained my own horse, except my very first one. I lunged in the arena at the old horse hotel and got it ready for a trainer to actually take it to the races.
The old horse hotel. You have really just dated yourself, Ron.
Yes, right. I have.
But as president and director of race operations, what responsibilities fall on your shoulders?
Pretty much everything.
So it's your fault?
From A to Z. So if something happens, it's my fault.
Okay. So. All right. Well, what do you get to take credit for?
Well, hopefully a successful race meet. You know, we're hoping to always put on a good show for the community. We're hoping that we have a safe track and safety for all jockeys and equine alike. And so we're just, we're happy to do it. We're happy to do it for the community. It doesn't make us any money. We just hope to break even and pay the bills and put on a good show for the community. We've been here since the 50s and want to continue it for another 50 years or 100 years.
What does this Stewart Accreditation School really mean to Grants Pass and the local association? It really is quite a feather in the cap, I would imagine, yours and certainly Connie Nguyen's, who I understand was responsible or had a lot of work to do in order to get this accreditation school here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a major feat for us to do that. For little old Grants Pass to put on a accreditation school like this, It really puts us in the eyes of all the states, Kentucky, you know, all the bigwigs. You know, this school's been done all over the United States, and for it to be in Grants Pass, it's really an honor.
One phrase you used, and if I've used it too. In fact, I've used it talking to other people about what was going to happen today on this show. And it's little old Grants Pass, and maybe we need to stop using that. Say little old Grants Pass, it's great old Grants Pass,
old Grants Pass,
home of the rogue,
big old Grants Pass,
home of the rogue, and home of some great horse racing here.
Yes.
All right. So, what does this accreditation school mean to you? Was it extra work for you?
No, it's no extra work for me, but it does allow us to look at future stewards for our own racetrack and for our tracks throughout the state. And so, you know, we got some stewards that are a little older. How much longer they want to keep doing this, I don't know. And so it gives us an opportunity to bring in some young blood, some newer stewards, and maybe have the opportunity to once our stewards want to retire or go on, that we have some other people in line to do that.
So you're growing your own here?
Correct.
All right. But this is actually an international school. So how many local people do we really have in it, or are these people who travel from race meet to race meet?
I haven't seen the list. I think there's probably a handful of local people, probably five or six local people, and then the rest are international.
Do we include Connie and Lindsay in that local people?
No.
Yeah.
No, those are they're taking it for their benefit. I don't see either one of them becoming a steward in the future. They're doing it for educational purposes. So
just make them better at what they do.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. All right. All right. That being said, how many really local do you have? Do you have a number of local people that are really involved?
Well, I know that an ex-jockey that works at the racetrack right now is Twyla Beckner. I know she's involved in the school, and she was a jockey years ago, went off and did her own business, has been working at the racetrack locally for about 2 years now, and is interested in that school. So she's one of the main ones that I know. Troy Stillwell, who's been our associate steward, he's looking at getting accredited. I'm not sure the other ones, but there are about four or five.
All right. Do we have a number of how many people are really enrolled in this accreditation school right now?
Right around 35. I think the number that I was given, I haven't seen the actual, list of people that are actually here, but 35 was the number that I was given as far as the number of people that were planning on going through the program.
All right, so 35 here, and that's an international list. The ladies ran through some of the areas from Japan, as far away as Japan.
And like Connie talked about, a lot of people that have been in the industry, so it's not like people that really haven't had anything to do with horse racing. It's kind of a mix, people that are interested in the sport, interested in the industry, and then people that have been involved in the sport in different areas and have done different things that now want to go through this program and maybe pursue a career as far as moving forward and working as a steward at another racetrack.
All right, so these people come in, and if they pass the test, and I guess that is if, because from what I heard, it's difficult, they would go back and share that knowledge with and become employed race stewards. Is that fair?
They're eligible to be employed.
They would be hired by a state, so they would be in a situation where if a job came open in a certain state or a certain jurisdiction, they would then apply for that job. And, whether it's in California or Arizona or any other state, they would just become eligible. They would be part of that talent pool just based on the fact that they got their accreditation and basically graduated from this program.
Right. So they could go anywhere in the United States and,
or in the world for that matter.
The world for that matter. This accreditation is worldwide.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So, they could go to any one of the states that has horse racing, and I imagine there are a lot of them that do. I know I'm from the Midwest. I know Nebraska has some great horse racing. Xarban is out there. They're, probably horse racing throughout the U.S., right? And these people can go there and be a bona fide steward.
Yes, correct.
And they would have to get hired. I think that's the key thing.
You apply, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And, whether the people from Japan go back to Japan or Jamaica or Canada or Europe or whatever the case may be, as far as going back home, or maybe, in some cases, maybe some of these people have a job waiting for them, and the only thing they need to do is to go through the program. But for the most part, these people have to apply for jobs that open up, in different states
I was going to say to put that money up front and travel from Japan here to take this school, there's got to be something waiting back home for them, I would expect.
Yeah, the cost of the program is $1,000. So you're making a big investment, like you said, time and travel as far as being a part of this program. But, if you can get through the program and get accredited, that's going to definitely open some doors for you.
And I think even in our case, where we have some local people that are going through the program, even though there might not be a job available now, but they know that in the future there could be, and so that they're going to be already ready to go.
Right.
And so even though they might keep working at the racetrack in their current job, soon as that job is available as a steward, then they're ready to go and they can apply for it. Because as you can see, it takes a lot of time, and if they didn't get it done here locally, who knows where the next school is going to be and what time that's going to be in, if they can even make that. So it's a good opportunity.
And it's done just once a year.
Yes,
right?
Once a year. So,
and it's right here in
Not
Grants.
A lot of opportunities to get through this school.
And it's right here in Great Grants Pass.
That's right.
Great Grants Pass, right? gentlemen, stay right there. We'll be right back. To all of you, once again, the phone number to call is 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment about horse racing or what's going on with this accreditation school, by all means, give us a call. And we'll be right back after this.
A primary care provider.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We started out talking about the prestigious Steward Accreditation School going on right here in Grants Pass in association with Grants Pass Downs right now. And just talking with Tag Weatherspoon and Rod Lowe, the Director of Racing here and the President of the Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association. I would have expected to see clusters of potential stewards running around on the racetrack. But most of it's going in class. It's a classroom situation for the most part, right? Although there will be some intermingling, I guess, later in the week for the live racing. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. So the reason the school is being done at this time is because we do have live racing going on, so those students can go and watch how the stewards do it when we draw horses, how they do with entries, what happens on race day, what the stewards' jobs are, how they look at a certain race and analyze it if there's an objection or they make an inquiry about the race. So it's a good opportunity for them to have some hands-on experience as well as the classroom.
All right. Now, and we're really just getting started into your summer racing program right now, going through what? July.
We're halfway. We're at the halfway point.
Halfway point, ending up on July 5th right now.
Correct.
How's it going so far? What have we seen so far?
Great. We're right on track with what we've been doing in the past. You know, this last weekend was a little rainy on Saturday, so we didn't get quite the crowds out that we would have liked to and stuff. But we've had some great promotions. We had some miniature little horses doing some expeditions this weekend, and it was a lot of fun to see those little minis out there in their carts and their jockeys behind them and running on the racetrack. So that's been a lot of fun. And Tag has a bunch of promotions coming up, and so he can speak on that.
Yeah, no, I think that, like Rod said, it's one of those things that, you know, the buildup, and then all of a sudden it's here, and now we're halfway through our season. And I think that, you know, Rod just does such a great job as the captain of the ship. We would truly be lost without him on both the backside and the front side. And he is, you know, he does so many great things as far as working with so many different people, whether it's working with Connie and the commission, working with the horsemen, you know, working with people in the race office and whatnot. Like you said, that title of director of racing, it's one thing to be the president of SORA and you kind of keep the organization going as far as a support group for racing and then actually running the race meet. But being the director of racing, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. But no, we're very happy with the start that we're off to. And we're kind of at the midway point right now. And our purses are better than they've ever been before, which is great for the horsemen. Our bottom purses, our lowest purses for quarter horses, $6,000, and the thoroughbreds is $6,500. So those purses are better than they've ever been before for our summer race meet. And the horsemen feel really good about that. We've got a good mix of horsemen, people from, you know, up and down the West Coast, and then people also from the Intermountain region and people from Utah and Wyoming. And the same thing with riders. And we've got riders that come here from a lot of different places. And like Rod talked about, you know, the community support is great. You know, there's a lot of history and tradition when it comes to Grants Pass Downs. And it's just kind of a win-win situation for everyone, the horsemen and everybody that's either directly or indirectly involved with Grants Pass Downs, that kind of make Grants Pass Downs home for the better part of a couple of months, including yours truly. People look forward to coming to Grants Pass. And then, like Rod talked about earlier, the economic impact is really, really important, whether it's from a lodging situation, food and beverage, getting out there in the community. It has a huge economic impact on Grants Pass in Josephine County. And we take a lot of pride in having a great working relationship with the Chamber of Commerce and the city of Grants Pass and Josephine County and whatnot. And I know that everybody feels really good. Everybody feels really good about where we are right now at this point in time.
All right. You keep answering my questions before I ask them. Economic impact was next in a row, and certainly we've got participants bringing their horses in from great distances away, and we certainly appreciate that. What about attendance at the races? I know it's got a lot of local support, and I know lots of people who go out on a regular basis, but how is the outreach in bringing people into the city just to watch the horse races?
You know, it's been very good. In fact, I work real closely with Data Pierce, and we actually get a tourism grant through the city of Grants Pass because we're in a situation where it's not uncommon where people come over from the coast. They come from Roseburg. They come from the Reading area. They come from the Portland area.
The idea is to reach out past
exactly.
50 miles.
Exactly. And we use those very important tourism dollars as far as the tourism grant that we get from the city of Grants Pass to kind of promote what we're doing outside the area, whether it's advertising in Eugene or Roseburg or Crescent City or Reading or Klamath Falls. So, and I know firsthand with our Win Place and Show contest, and that's one reason we do what we do. Every day after the seventh race, we give away $200. And all you have to do is basically take your losing ticket. You take your losing ticket and you write down your name and your hometown on the back of your losing ticket, and you put your losing ticket in a corresponding box as far as the horse that you think is going to win that seventh race. And if the horse that you picked ends up running third, if it ends up running third, we'll draw a name out of that box, and that person wins $40. And then if your horse finished second, you get $60. And if your horse wins, you get $100. So that's just kind of a sample size of having an idea from a demographic standpoint. In fact, one of the winners the other day, whose name I pulled out of the box, he was from Olympia, Washington.
That was my next question. What's the furthest way you've seen?
Exactly. We have people from Arizona, Washington, Utah, Wyoming, people from the Midwest, people from Florida. Through the years, we've been doing this Win Place and Show contest for years. And then I actually look through all the old tickets to see where people are coming from, because it kind of helps me out, too, as far as our advertising and marketing, as far as how we go about promoting Grants Pass Downs and getting the word out. So there's no doubt that, you know, and the thing about it is that we take so much pride in what we do, you know, whether it's from a customer service standpoint or a hospitality standpoint. And now things are more competitive than they've ever been before. There's always things going on, especially in the summer. And that's one reason we do what we do with these promotions, to try to get new fans to come out and go to the races. And there are so many people that I come in contact with on a regular basis who have not been to the races before. They come out to Grants Pass Downs, and they have a great experience. And they're already looking forward to their next trip to the races. So that's one thing that I think makes all of us feel very good, is that we have new people that are coming to the races all the time. They have a good experience, and we all know, too, that one of the best forms of advertising is word-of-mouth advertising, because they're going to tell their friends, they're going to tell their family about, hey, you know, what did you do last weekend? You know what? I went to Ladies Hat Day at Grants Pass Downs, and there were over 200 ladies wearing hats, and there were some great hats, and the energy was good, and I'm just so glad that I went. So, you know, those are some of the things that we attempt to do, you know, when it comes to promoting what we have to offer at Grants Pass Downs.
All right, Rod, I want to come back to you as director of racing here. I imagine you put in some long days here.
I do.
So on race day, what time does your day start?
My day starts about 6:30 in the morning. We start training at 7 a.m. at Grants Pass Downs. So we have 3 hours of training in the morning. And then after that, everybody starts setting up.
Now, when you say training, you're talking about people working their horses.
Yes, right. Correct. We have the trainers and the jockeys exercising their horses in the morning. On Saturdays and Sundays, on race days, we put the gate up in the morning so that the horses can stand in the gates, practice, get used to gates, work their horses if they need to. So I spend my first part of my day doing that. Then from 10 o'clock until noon, we're getting all the vendors set up. We're getting everything organized, getting all my people in place. And then our first post time is 1 o'clock. I go through the day with our races. They end anywhere from 4 to 5 o'clock usually. From that point, then I'm there cleaning up and getting the cleanup crew to get ready for the next day. So I'm usually home by 9 or 10 that night. So
that's an average day at the races.
That's an average day at the races.
All right. Let me ask a question too, because people can go to the races and enjoy them and been there, done that. And once that, you hear that gate open and you see the break from the gate, your pulse does quicken. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. And you don't have to bet. But betting is a big portion of what happens out there. Is that right?
Sure.
And as director of racing, how are you involved in the racing handle?
Well, you know, we're always looking for a bigger handle, you know, because that
pays the bills.
That helps pay the bills. I'm not going to say it pays all the bills, but it helps pay some of the bills. So the bigger the handle we have, the more horses we have in the gate, usually the bigger handle for that race is. And so we always try to promote as many horses in a race as we can. We have a 10-horse gate, so that's our ultimate. We want 10 horses in that gate racing. The bettor loves those 10-horse fields because that gives better odds on their horses. So that's what we strive for. Obviously, it doesn't always work that way. Our minimum is 5 horses in the gate, and hopefully we don't get any scratches where you end up with 4 horses in a gate or something like that. But the better we can do with the horses in the gate, the better our handle usually is.
All right. Just a quick point. On sure. Father's Day, there was over $63,000 bet on our 10 races, which was better than last year on Father's Day. And so, you know, so we were very proud of that. And then like Rod talked about, you know, just typically – you know, just to kind of give people a better understanding of parimutuel wagering. So people are kind of betting against one another, and we're really kind of the house.
Right.
And just kind of a rule of thumb is that every dollar that's bet, we get 20 cents out of every dollar as far as our commission, you know, roughly. So you can kind of do some math as far as what that means. But, you know, basically 80 cents out of every dollar goes back to the betting public as far as people who had winning tickets, depending on the different types of wagers.
All right, let me ask a question. We're talking about fairly large dollar amounts, and I'm not asking for any secrets now, but tell me about security.
So we have 6 security guards that we have hired, for the races. And we have, they're all in the perimeters. So we have a couple in the stands. We have some out in the parking lot areas and stuff. So we hire a security group that oversees that. And then we have our state security people. We have 2 investigators that handle all the state end of things and stuff. So we're pretty secure in what we do.
Now, I would imagine a lot of Las Vegas techniques filter into what is really done behind the windows.
Oh, yeah. We have all the eyes in the sky, and we have security cameras all over the place. So we can watch everything as it happens.
Does that fall under your bailiwick, Rod?
Yeah.
That's part of it, too.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
One of many hats you wear.
One of many hats. Well, I've learned a lot today, and quite frankly, anytime we get one like this where I've really not been exposed to it a lot. I learned a lot, and it goes directions that I never thought it would go. In the meantime, I want to thank you both very much. I've got 2 minutes left, and either one of you can fill that.
Go ahead, Rod. You take a minute, and then I'll talk about our promotions as far as what's going on.
Yeah, week. I just want to...
Final thoughts.
I just want to recognize that we have the Sora meet, which is our fair meet. We have 2 more weekends left. We end on the 5th of July, and then we have our fall meet that we come back, and that's our commercial meet. And I'm the CEO of HRA LLC, which is the horse racing commercial entity. We manage all of the OTBs throughout the state, as well as the commercial live meet. We will start our commercial meet on September the 7th. We'll run Sundays and Mondays, and we'll end on October 13th. So we got 12 more days of racing coming up this fall. So if anybody can't get away this summer, please come back and see us in the fall.
There you have it. All right, Rob. Okay.
And then real quickly, as far as...
Yeah, only 1 minute.
This weekend, Saturday is Josephine County Food Bank Day.
Yes.
And, you know, we're a nonprofit, so we love to partner with other nonprofits in the community. So free admission for fans who donate 2 non-expired cans of food to the Josephine County Food Bank, and that's on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's Military Appreciation Day, and it's our way of kind of honoring people that have a connection with the military, and free admission for current and former members of the armed forces. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up. 4th of July, that's a big tradition here in Grants Pass as far as celebrating Independence Day at Grants Pass Downs. And then, of course, our final day of our summer race meet will be Saturday, July 5th, and that will be Fan Appreciation Day, kind of our way of thanking the fans for all of their support. How'd I do?
Hey, not bad. I'm impressed. Ron and Tag, thank you both very much, and have a great racing season to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.